I love SMBC because I've been a member here for over 20 years, and Pastor brings a word every Sunday.
Ministry here is for the entire being. I love the way it touches the mind, the body, and the soul. We have women's ministries.
Welcome to our world.
I've gone to several churches before, and the truth that Pastor preaches about the word, his leadership and his vision is just pure. Welcome to our world.
What keeps me coming back to St. Matthew's is the youth program. They continuously put effort into the young mentors.
Welcome to our world.
Bienvenidos a nuestro mundo.
Throne of grace, if you could stand with me this morning as we speak with our Heavenly Father and invite Him into this place, because we want Him here as a part of our worship experience to Him. Heavenly Father, it's in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we come before you to say thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace, Lord. There's no one like you, God. There's no one who stands before you. There's no one who stands behind you or beside you, God. You are the only true and living God. And we bless your name this morning, Father, because you've been so good to us. We thank you for your mercy, Lord. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for loving us in a way that we really will never understand until we're with you face to face. Thank you, God, for your protection throughout the week, Lord, from dangers both seen and unseen, Lord. So many things that could have happened that you had your hand on and did not allow to come to us, Father. We thank you and give you praise for that, Lord. God, we thank you for those who have assembled together this morning to worship you, God, because you are worthy of our worship. We thank you, God, for those who've assembled to give you praise, Lord, because you're worthy of our praise for all the wonderful and marvelous things you've done. Thank you, Lord, for those who wanted to come but for whatever reason could not be here, be it sickness, be it an issue that would not allow them to come out this morning, Lord. We ask that you would just have your hand on them and bless them, Father. I pray for our pastor, Lord. We pray for him and his health to continue to get stronger and stronger each day, Lord. We pray for our first lady as she is standing by his side, Lord, that you would continue to give her strength to stand by him and help him as he heals, and that they will return to us raring and ready to go, Lord. We're excited for their return, Father. And we want them back in their places here, Father, amongst our congregation. I pray for our choir, our musicians, Lord, our youth ministries and ushers, anyone who would have anything to do with the service today, Lord. I ask a special blessing upon them, Lord, that you would give them all they need to serve you well, Lord. Father, we're just here for you, God. Do whatever you want to do in this service, Lord. Have your way today. Move any flesh out of the way that would attempt to even glory in your presence, Lord, because it's not about us, but it's all about you. It's in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask that someone would come today who does not know you and the pardon of their sins, that they would give their life to you in an excited fashion, Lord. They would run down the aisle and say, I yield, what must I do to be saved, Lord? I pray, God, that you would save someone today, Father. It's in your name we pray all these prayers and petitions with thanksgiving. Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. God's been good to you. He's been good to me because we're here on today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on and clap your hands and give God some praise. Song says, like the dew in the morning, gently rest upon my heart. How many know that's your testimony on today? Hallelujah. Come on, sing with us right here.
Like the dew in the morning, gently rest upon my heart.
Come on, how many know that song today?
Like the dew in the morning, gently rest upon my heart.
Come on, help me sing.
Like the dew. Gently rest.
The dew in the morning gently rests upon my heart. Hallelujah. How many came to magnify the Lord on today? How many came to magnify the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This song says, I came to magnify. Come on, clap your hands.
Worthy. Never will a rock cry out in my place.
He's worthy. sing. Heaven on a rock. Come on, church. I just came. Come on and clap those hands. Hallelujah.
Good morning, Saint Matt. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will be. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Very present help in the time of trouble. His name is above every name. His name is the name Jesus. He is my rock. He is my way maker. He is a shelter in the time of storm. He is a bridge over troubled water. He is my deliverer. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down thy weary head. Lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus just as I was, weary, worn, and sad. And I found in him a resting place. He has made me glad. You ought to clap your hands like you're glad. Like you're glad this morning. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hallelujah. I don't know where I'd be without the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. So glad to see your smiling faces this morning. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This morning we will have two scriptures by Minister Arnold and Reverend Delwood Williams, followed by prayer by Reverend Hill. Amen? Amen. Choir.
First scripture comes from Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. This is what the Word of God says. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end.
Good morning, St. Matthews. Our second scripture will be coming from 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, the 24th verse. 1 Corinthians 9:24, the word of God. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. The word of God for the children of God.
Let us pray. To the all-wise God, to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whom all power in heaven and earth has been given, we come today to say thank you, because you watched over us. You watched over us, dear Heavenly Father, and moved things out of our way that we had not seen. We thank you, Lord, for the shepherd of this house. As he is in recovery, Lord, we ask you and continue to thank you for your recovery strength that you give to him, for the blessing that you anoint upon those who reside in his house, him, his wife, his entire family, and dear Heavenly Father, the sheep of the pasture that he is responsible for. For the men who will proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ today. We thank you, Lord, and we celebrate you, Lord. All those who have assembled today and come from near and far, that we may receive a word of God from the vessels of God. We just say thank you, Lord. So many things going on in our lives. Death is touching and life is being given. But Lord, we thank you today. We thank you because you're able. We thank you because you're always on time. We thank you, Lord, because you're a lawyer in a courtroom. We thank you, Lord, because you're a doctor in a hospital. We thank you, Lord. We give you glory, majesty, of which you're so richly deserving of. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the family of God that resides here in this house of God. We just say thank you, Lord. Bless all those assembled today. Bless all those who serve. Bless those who will depart from this place to serve you, Lord. Reaching out to folks when they say, what must I do to be saved? Jesus! Jesus is the only way. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Those hands, everybody. Song says, God's been so good to me, I cannot tell you all. Come on, choir. and night till I cannot tell it all. Hey, hey, hey.
I cannot tell it all.
Let's take it up now.
Take it up, move my way around. I cannot tell it all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Give God some praise. Hallelujah. Said, I cannot tell it all. Hallelujah.
Woo.
Hallelujah.
At this time, please receive Sister Elena Mitchell Ziegler.
Matthew's family, giving honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our senior pastor, Dr. Raymond M. Gordon Sr., the ministers, and all of you. I am excited to tell you that we have a new video from Pastor, so please turn your attention to the screen.
Good morning. How are you? And this morning, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15:51. Through 58, and it says, therefore. And whenever you see therefore, you have to ask, what is it there for? Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And in 15:51, he says, behold. That means get alert. I show you a mystery, a mysterion, something that has never been seen before, but has been planned out. It's a euphemism. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That word sleep deals with those that have gone on to be with the Lord, their spirits in heaven, but their bodies are in the grave. We shall not all sleep. But we shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. In other words, the euphemism is, God didn't make a mistake. God shows you a mystery. Hallelujah. And that mystery is, we shall not all sleep. That God has taken us to heaven in ships. The dead in Christ, their bodies are still in the grave, but their spirits are in glory. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive, listen, at the time of the rapture and remain shall be caught up, snatched, amen, to be with him in the air. The trumpet shall sound. This trumpet is a trumpet, amen, that God used for victory. It's a trumpet of deliverance over defeat. And we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And he goes on to say, listen to this, that mortality will put on immortality. Hallelujah. And he deals with this euphemism all through scripture that we will be snatched through the territories of Satan, snatched in the air, at the trump of God, and we shall be changed, metamorphosized, like the Lord, with the Lord, amen, and we will all be in the air with the Lord of glory, hallelujah, and he goes on to say, he qualifies what therefore stands for, therefore, because Jesus has defeated all the enemy's tactics, because Jesus has given us deliverance over death, because Jesus has given us immortality over mortality, because Jesus, hallelujah, has changed us in the moment of twinkling of an eye, because Jesus has given us the victory over the venom of Satan, because Jesus has done all this. Therefore, here's our situation that we need to stand. Therefore, qualifies that God didn't make a mistake. He shows you a mystery. Therefore, be ye steadfast. Stand still. Unmovable. Delay is not defeat. Hallelujah. Delay is not defeat. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Praise his holy and everlasting name. God has a plan. God has a purpose. God has the power. God shows us a mysterion. God says, I have a plan. I have a euphemism. I have everything to give you the victory, and nothing can stop it. Jesus is Lord. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. Therefore, here's what you and I need to do this morning. Be steadfast. That delay is not defeat. Hallelujah. Be steadfast. Stand still. And watch God pull off his plan throughout the centuries, throughout eternity. This mysterion was always known by God, but not revealed to men. Isn't it nice, isn't it awesome that God has plans we don't know about? And so my encouragement to all of you is be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for your labor, your point of exhaustion, your point of waiting, your point of watching is not in vain. Amen. And we thank the Lord for that. We thank the Lord for all of you. So the therefore is the first 57 verses. And then verse 58, hallelujah, is your encouragement. Be steadfast. Whatever you do, don't give up. Whatever you do, don't stop believing. God has a plan for your victory. Hallelujah. Pastor loves you, and these themes are consistent. They will be echoed by Miss Selena, and we have a great, great church and a great theme and a great time. And God is going to move us where God wants us to be, to have the total victory in Jesus Christ. Pastor loves you. Sister Gordon loves you. And she couldn't be in the picture with me. She's filming. But praise the name of Jesus. We send our love to you. God bless you. May the Lord richly bless you. Thank you so much. Lord bless you.
Love and miss him so much, all of us. I have one more brief message to share with you from Pastor Gordon that he would like for us to keep in mind as we are continually building on the theme of place to place. The promises of God are proof that God will move us from place to place until we are in his place of peace and purpose. God saves the best for last, just as Jesus did when he turned water into wine at the wedding at Cana, with wine representing joy. God places divine detours in our paths, like GPS systems recalculating to put us in his place. Lastly, Pastor already reviewed 1 Corinthians 15:58 that says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So we all need to keep going, because God has the outcome. Thank you. Jesus loves you. Pastor loves you, and so do I. God bless you.
Thank you, Sister Elena Mitchell Ziegler. Praise the Lord. It is a privilege and an honor for me to speak to St. Matthew's Baptist Church and this congregation about our faithful, called man of God, our senior pastor, Dr. Raymond M. Gordon, Sr. And his faithful wife and First Lady, Sister Diane Gordon. Married to one wife. Stayed with one wife. As he approaches his 38th anniversary of sacrificial service, his spiritual growth is affirmed by buds, flowers, and ripe fruit. A patriot servant to this country for 7 years of active duty service in the United States Air Force, who quit his civilian job to become our servant leader and senior pastor. By faithfully preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified, he grew this church body from 150 people to over 12,000 parishioners. By diligence to the scriptures and by excellent management and by being vision driven to reach, teach, and disciple converts. Led us to build this modern worship center with additional projects that included educational wings and classrooms, with additional projects of gymnasiums, kitchen, and a culinary excellence, a state-of-the-art community development center with indoor heated swimming pool and indoor tennis and pickleball courts, a conference center, upstairs and downstairs classroom, and another state-of-the-art kitchen and modern exercise center right over here, all done by your pastor. Not only that, but he forged an income-producing relationship with the Head Start program, purchased and paid for multiple coach buses to reach the lost souls of Philadelphia and various cities in New Jersey. He set the souls that came on those buses right in the middle of the church, up front, as honored guests, and then he fed them a first-class meal once a month. He established some 57 ministries in this church, all driven by the church vision. Furthermore, he faced head-on with the local political machine to build a state-of-the-art daycare center that is over 90% occupied as we speak. As our pastor of almost 38 years, through marriage, fathering, raising children, through national political upheavals, through the pestilence of COVID, having overseen the management of our resources, he made adjustments to the needs for care and safety of the people of God. He had the technology to stream messages through multiple networks to provide spiritual food every Sunday and every Wednesday during COVID. I've got to mention pastor's transparency, the formal education with 3 degrees, a man who studied to show himself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. For almost 38 years, he sent out pastors for 10 churches who are the sons of this ministry. Pastor is an appointed leader in the National Baptist Congress, a Jesus Christ preaching machine. You ought to give thanks and appreciation for our spiritual leader and our senior pastor, Dr. Raymond M. Gordon, Sr. And I want you to show your love for our pastor, not just in duty and reverence, but by prayer in the Holy Spirit. I want you to pray a short prayer right now for the healing and the well-being of our pastor, Dr. Raymond M. Gordon, Sr., for 38 seconds in silence. Let us pray for 38 seconds in silence. Amen. Come on, let's give him a hand clap. Come on. Give your pastor a hand clap. Because you know you prayed from your heart. And we're trusting the Lord to hear those prayers and bring about an end. Now we will have Deacon Jarvis to come and give us the outreach report. Amen. Receive Deacon Jarvis.
Good morning, St. Matthews. I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for dying on the cross for my sins, for being buried, and rising again on the third day. Thank you, Jesus. Also, I'd like to thank my pastor for his faithfulness, his example of faithfulness, for all the things that he put into me, and that I'm quite sure he put a lot of things into you as well, but I'd like to thank him, just continue to keep him in prayer. Everybody in outreach went out with us this weekend. Can you please stand? We went out to Sicklerville area. We evangelized 145 homes, and 5 souls accepted Jesus Christ. Give God glory. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
And now we'll have Reverend Jackson with the baby blessing. Amen.
Family, do we have the godparents here? We have the parents? Yeah, I know you're the parents. Do you have your relatives? No, okay, good. You come on out here. Oh, that pretty brown joy. We do not baptize children here at St. Matthew's because they must make their own personal decision to invite Christ into their life by admitting, believing, and confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. Luke said in chapter 18, verses 16 and 17, but Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, start little children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Amen. So I'm gonna place my hand on this little bundle of joy, and I'm gonna say, as I place my hand on this child, I'm gonna say, I have a word of prayer and dedication to her. Amen. Amen. Eternal God, many have prayed for this child, and you have gave us the petition that we ask of you. You heard our prayers and brought this child unto our lives. Therefore, we choose to dedicate this child to you, because as long as this child lives, she will be dedicated to you. And this child belongs not to us, so please have your divine way in her life. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray with thanksgiving. Yeah. Let all of God's children say amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. And I just have one poem I'd like to dedicate to her. And this child we dedicate to thee, O God of grace and purity. In thy great love, its life prolong. Shield it, we pray, from sin and wrong. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Bless the Lord. All right. God bless you. See you later. Bless you. Thank you all.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for this family and this new baby. Do we have any visitors in the house? Are there any visitors? If you are, stand up or raise your hand if you have any visitors. Would you stand? Can I see you? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We welcome you into our midst, and our ushers will give you a visiting package. I ask that you fill it out and put it in the offering plate, and if you don't have enough time to do that, give it to one of the ushers on your way out. Amen? Thank you for coming to St. Matthew's on this worship day. Now, after the sermon, if any of our visitors don't have a church home, we welcome you to become part of our great church. Let's give our visitors a hand clap in the name of Jesus. And now it's offering time. A tithe is a tenth. A tenth of your earnings for every week. If you earn $500 a week, your tithe is $50. If it's $1,000 a week, then your tithe is $100. In Malachi 3, verse 8 through 12, it reads this way. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But we say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. So bring ye all of the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and you shall be, and he shall destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, and you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. We have a message.
Good morning, St. Matthews. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Today's announcements are as follows.
Our very own Superior Star Christian Learning Center is looking for a part-time teacher's assistant. Read the full description and apply today on Indeed.com or call 856-243-2529.
Ladies, 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 we have exciting news. The Women's Breakfast is back. Join us Saturday, May 18th from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Registration is required. Register in the main lobby through our Facebook page or call the church extension 2278. We hope to see all of you there.
Hey, church family. The Lord has blessed us to be able to donate 20-inch kids' bikes to qualifying low-income families. If you or someone you know in the local community are interested in applying, please call the church at 856-629-4614, extension 2278. The deadline to apply is Sunday, May 19th.
This concludes today's general announcements.
Amen. Deacons and ushers, come forward, choir. Come on, I know y'all know this song. Come on, let's say ride on.
Ride on, King Jesus.
Say no man.
Although Pastor Gordon is not present physically, he is here spiritually. Pastor Gordon has prepared a word from the Lord, and it is hinged on the central theme of keep going because God has the outcome. This morning you will hear from three preachers. First, with clear articulation, Minister Cleve Folk. Second, with flat-footed delivery, Reverend Roy Walker. And third, with power of thunder and lightning, we have Reverend Gary Tunstall. Amen. After the choir sings, these preachers will come in the order that was given. Please stand and greet them with a hand clap as they come in that order. Amen. Choir.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, praise the Lord, everybody. I said, come on, praise the Lord, everybody. That was good enough for the person sitting next to you. Oh, come on. This song right here says, thank you. Anybody just have a posture of thank you on today? Anybody thankful for what he's brought you through, for where he's taken you to? Anybody thankful for life, health, and strength? The things that somebody else didn't wake up on today. The fact that you're sitting here in your right mind. The fact that you have the activity of your limbs. The fact that you can see, walk, and talk. Oh, come on. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Somebody ought to just lift your hands and cry, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
choir, help me say thank you.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Yeah.
on if he made a way for you on today. Say you made a way. When there was no way. Woo! Woo! You made a way. I just wanna thank you, Lord. Yeah. Your arms toward heaven. Don't worry about the person next to you. Don't worry about where you are. Just look toward heaven and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord. And I just want to thank you, Lord.
I just want to thank you.
I just want to say thank you. Come on and raise the praise. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to say thank you, Lord. We just come to say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We just come to say thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
We just come to say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Something about this Jesus, this man from Galilee, this King, this Lord, this God. When you are touched by the Master, you can't be still, you can't be silent, because he's worthy of all the praise. He's worthy of all the glory. So we give him his praise, we give him his glory, we give him his worship, because he's worthy. You better act like you know something. You better act like you know Jesus. Go on and give him praise. Go on and give him worship. Who else is worthy? Who else? But Jesus. 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 But how are we going to come in his house? and act like he ain't here? How are we gonna come into this place and not give him that praise? Giving glory to our resurrected, our risen, our righteous, our ruling Savior, Jesus the Christ, our Messiah. Give him all glory, majesty, power to him, the Lamb who was raised. Bless his name. Thank you, Jesus, for gathering us. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together in your name, Lord God. And thank you for providing a man of God, Lord God, who has led us, Jesus, all these years by your hand, Lord God. Thank you for our pastor, who even in his detour is still on his duty, Lord God. Thank you for a pastor who's faithful. After 38 years, he's still going strong. That's only 2 years from 40. Thank you, Jesus. Giving honor to Jesus and acknowledging Pastor Gordon. Thank you, Pastor Gordon, for your faithfulness. Thank you for your dedication. Thank you for looking after all of us, Pastor. We love you. We are praying for you. And thank you for the message you shared with us this morning. It blessed our hearts, Pastor. So thank you for that. I want to acknowledge my wife, Melissa. She's in the back. Hey, baby. How you doing? As you know, it'll be 30 years. We'll be married on September 9th. But we dated 4.5 years, so we've been together 34 and a half years. Amen. Now, don't think that 4 years we were spent doing stuff we shouldn't be doing, because we didn't. Bless the Lord. Wasn't easy, but praise Jesus. Amen. Amen. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. And we're going to be starting at the 35th verse. I want to acknowledge all of my brothers in the pulpit. Thank you that we are all together. We're not in competition. We're not of Apollos or of Paul. We're of Christ. And so we thank you for that. I want to bless all of the ushers, bless all of the choir members, bless security, bless the nurses in the back, and just bless everyone who's taking a part of this worship experience where we get to exalt our Savior. As you heard, the title that Pastor has given us is Keep Going. Keep going. Because God has the outcome. Keep going. Why? Because God, what does he have? He has the outcome. An outcome is a result of. An outcome with the Christian is a desired end. And he's teaching us, he wants us to know that God, he holds our outcome, and he has a desired end for each and every one of you. The thing that's so wonderful about God is that he can deal with us generally, but yet he loves us specifically. And if God had not died for anybody else on the cross, if everybody else denied Jesus, if you were the only one to accept him, he would have died just for you. Because the Bible says God so loved the world, that's general, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's specific, believeth in him shall not perish. So God's intended outcome is for us never to perish. His expected outcome, it will happen. It's sure. You can take that to the bank because God has never failed. Let's look in Mark chapter 4, starting at the 35th verse. And I'm reading from the New King James Version, and it will say this. You'll have similar words there. It says, on the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he rose, rebuked the wind, and said, "Peace, be still." And then the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the seas obey him?" Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Keep going. God has the outcome. To keep going, it takes faith. To keep going, it takes a trust. To keep going takes endurance. And you have to hope. You have to have faith that passes all understanding. You have to trust in the Lord and lean not unto your own understanding. You have to learn to endure hardness as a good soldier to keep going. You have to hope because, behold, the eye of the Lord is on them that fear him, on those that hope in his mercy. Proverbs 16:9 says, "A man devises his way in his heart, but the Lord directs them all." And here, God is directing us through a storm. Now, we can quote the promises of God. We can stand on the promises of God, as we should. But what lesson we're going to learn here is this. Is that when you understand that truth, truth needs a trial. Not only does truth need a trial, but it also needs a test to try that truth. And once you understand this truth, and that truth has a trial, and there's a test of the trial, you'll get to a trust. So in other words, in order for you and I to stand on God's promises, in order for us to sure enough know that we know that we know that he is good, in order for us to know that he's always able to deliver us, that if we understand that truth, then God is going to give us a trial. And then he's going to give us a test to test the trial so that we can know that truth. And once we know that truth, now transformation begins. See, what happens is God will use our circumstances. God will use our issues. God will use everything about us to teach us a truth. And the truth is, there's no better teacher than in a storm. When you are in the eye of a storm, things can be raging all around you. When you're in the eye of a storm, the willows can blow, the wind can blow, the breakers can break, but you know you have an anchor that will keep you steadfast, unmovable, despite your times. When you're in the eye of the storm, you learn that Jesus is in the middle of the storm with you. You learn to keep going because God has your outcome. It's all right, sister. Keep trusting. He got you. See, he helps our faith. And the truth of the matter is, sometimes he has to resurrect a dead faith. Sometimes he has to resuscitate a failing faith. And sometimes he has to rescue a faltering faith. Sometimes trials and storms come to our life to where it's just dead. Sometimes we just can't believe how in the world God's going to get us out that. We need him to resurrect our dead faith. There are times when our faith is struggling because of situations and things that go beyond our comprehension. So God needs to resuscitate, bring it back to life, our faith. And then there are times where our faith is failing, it's faltering, but yet God will rescue that faith because he's in the eye of that storm. And we understand that there's a truth that has a trial to test that truth. And once it's tested, it results in a trust that transforms. In other words, what God will do is he will give you a formatted faith. Yeah, he will. Yeah, he will. What he will do is he will allow situations and things happen. And then once you've gone through that storm, you now can deposit that faith in your memory banks. So you can always pull up a promise. You can always pull up his faithfulness. You can always pull up his graciousness because it's been tested. And now you know that you know. Here we have the disciples trying to get on to the other side. And Jesus had said to them, we're going to go to the other side. Now, Jesus had been teaching all day long in this boat, multitudes that were there. He's tired. He's tired. In his humanity, he got tired. And it was time for them to go to the other side. Now, they had already seen him heal people. They had already seen him control demonic forces. They had already seen him do many things. But at the end of the day, after all this, he says, let's go. And then he leaves. Now, as he goes, there is a storm that comes. It says, when they had left the multitude, they took with them along in the boat as he was and other little boats. That simply means that he didn't pick up anything. He didn't prepare. He just went as he was. There are times when you're not prepared for the storm. There are times when you when they just grab you and you don't know where it's coming from. But you hold on and keep going. Because there's a truth when you're in that storm. And that truth is this: Jesus is in the boat. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Jesus is in the boat. Wait a minute. I didn't say Cleve. I didn't say pastor. I didn't say your mom. I said Jesus is in the boat. Jesus, the one that framed the world, is in the boat. Jesus, the one that looked death, grabbed him in a chokehold, swallowed him up and ate him up, and then resurrected. The Jesus that rescued us from our sins, that Jesus is in the boat. That Jesus, that same Jesus, is in the boat. And the boat comes along into the Lake of Galilee with other little boats. Other people who have tasted of his goodness. They heard of it. So they want to know more. They want to see more. And then what happens is a storm arose. A storm arose. Waves beat into the boat. So that was already filling. Great storms. Storms of things that we don't understand. Things that we don't speak of. Dramatic storms. Problematic storms. The truth of the matter is, if we tell the truth, there are some storms in our life that makes us question God's faithfulness. Yeah, there is. Sometimes things happen and we're like, Lord, I don't know what in the world you're doing. There are times when we say, God, why am I going through this? Come on now. You have some people that have had to bury their children. You've had some people that have gone through extreme circumstances and sexual assault. We've had some people go through things and horrible things where you just don't know. But I will tell you this. God is faithful. See, there's no temptation such as common to man that God with the temptation will not make a way of escape. He's faithful that you'll be able to bear it. Well, you can take the word temptation and switch it with situation or storm. There is no storm that is taking you, but it's common to all of us. But God is faithful. He will take that storm and use that storm that you'll be able to bear everything in that storm. And you'll go through the test. You'll go through the trial knowing to trust him because he's faithful. Here the disciples have come to the end of himself, and it seems that Jesus is asleep. The way the boat was, the boat is at the back. Jesus is on the back of the boat, sleeping. And they were wondering, Lord, where are you? What's happening? Well, the truth of the matter is, he's sleeping by the stern. The stern is by the helm where they can steer the boat. So when he got up, he calmed the storm. He said, peace, be still. The same thing he told that demoniac, the same thing he told them, he said, peace, be still. And if you just trust the Lord, he will make sure everything is peaceful and bring it to a still. I'm going to close with this thought. And that is this. My Aunt Esther told me about this show back in the 50s. And it would start off with this. It would say, faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman. Well, I stop by to tell you that Jesus is faster than a strong windstorm. His dunamis is more powerful than a raging sea. He's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. All we got to do when we're struggling is look unto the hills. Whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. It's not a bird. It's not a plane. It's Jesus, Jesus the Christ, our only God, Savior. Be glory, majesty, dominion, and power. So hold on. Keep going. God has your outcome.
Good morning. Give your honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to my pastor, my friend, my mentor. Continue to pray for him. And to the best thing that ever happened to me, my wife, I thank the Lord for her 38 years. It's been giving me the task to deal with what God wants us to know. Keep going. Because God got the outcome.
That's right.
The hard thing is this. It's hard to keep going. I mean, when your life is devastated, when everything is falling apart, when things are just crumbling, your children's out of the way, bills are overwhelming, the mortgage is behind, your job is getting on your nerve, it's hard to keep going when you feel that you're suffocating, stressed out, bent over, crying. It's hard to keep going. And that's exactly how I feel. But I got to keep going. You know, you can smile and come to church and everything look good, and everybody thinks you look good, but nobody really know how you really feel inside. That you're broken, that you're ready to cry, and that you're trying to make it, but you're not making it. You look good, but like Eddie Murphy said, I look good, but I'm broke. It was this movie I was watching, and in this movie, you know I had to go there. Cleaved out Steve, a Superman joke, so I can't go there, so I got to find another movie. You know, and as I was watching this movie, it was this FedEx guy. He was getting ready to get on the plane. You know, he had the mail and everything. He's getting on the plane, and he's going, and all of a sudden, the plane crash in the ocean, right? So he ended up on a deserted island, right? And he was so upset and mad and mad and mad, so he was trying to make fire, and he screamed, woom, 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 and he cut his hand. So he got so mad, he took the volleyball, and he threw it. And when he threw it, you know, it landed aside, and he went back, tried to make a fire. Then he said, I've made fire. You know, and then he looked at the volleyball. It had blood all over it, and he made an eyes through eyes and a nose. And but then he looked out at the sea. And he said, "Oh my God, it looks so overwhelming that he can never get home." He felt stressed out, broken, figured nobody would save him. And eventually, he made a raft, and he took the ball with him, and he put it on the raft. And all of a sudden, the ball got lost, and he said, "Wilson, Wilson, Wilson." Wilson! But finally, he got rescued because God had the outcome.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? God have the outcome. In the simplest sense, God have our outcome. And the movie was called Castaway.
Yeah. You know, but in the similar self, God have our outcome. He have our outcome. No matter what we look at, he has our outcome. But there's two main characters in the book, in the Bible, that really told us how to keep on going when things get rough, how to keep on knowing that God got the outcome. The one was Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul wrote 13 books of the Bible. 13 books. He spoke 4 different languages. He stood at the feet of Gamaliel. You know what I mean? He had the Damascus Road experience. This Paul, and right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, this Paul was at the weakest moment of his life. At the weakest moment of his life, he was pressed all over him. He was frustrated. Why? Because everything around him was just falling apart. But he did not give up. He didn't. He kept going. He kept going. But then there's also Jesus. In Luke chapter 13, verse 33, Jesus said, when the disciples came to him and said, "Jesus, Herod want to kill you." He said, "You tell that fox, today I go, and tomorrow I go, and the day after I go." He kept on going.
That's right.
What is it about these two guys that kept on going? What is it about these guys that at the greatest moment of their faith, there's something that always try your faith? There's two enemies to your faith. One is discouragement. When we look around, we get discouraged of what we see. But not only discouragement, it's fatigue. They're just so tired of the same thing over and over again that you get tired. What is fatigue? Fatigue is the exertion, being extremely tired, agitated, frustrated, resulting from the exaltation of mental and physical energy over and over and over again that you're tired. And we all feel that way sometimes. What are the different type of fatigue? You could be mentally fatigued. You're having a problem, the same problem over and over and over, and you're thinking, always thinking of a solution. How I'm going to solve this? How I'm going to do this? How can I do that? Till they get to the point that you're just tired thinking. That you just want to just rest my mind. Why? Because you're having this headache just pounding over and over in your head. Just thinking of a solution. You don't got it. God got it. So let it go. Rest your mind. But not only is the mental exaltation that's happening to you that make you fatigue, it's the emotional fatigue. What's the emotional fatigue? Your emotion going up and down over the same thing. You know what I mean? If you're having a good day, you feel happy. If you're having a bad day, you're down. You know what I mean? If things come to suppress you, you're down and down and down. You're going all over in your emotions. The Bible say in Proverbs 4:24, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issue of life. So you got to learn to guard your heart. You can't let everybody come into your emotions, into your life, and hurt you and break you. You are made to survive. You are a survivor. You're a strong man. You are a strong woman. You are made to exist. You are made to survive. Don't let people drag you down.
That's right.
But not only the mentally, not only the emotionally, but the relationally fatigue. Relation, you've been in a relationship so long, you just get to the point, I'm just tired. The same thing with this man, the same thing with this woman. So now you're just living in emotions. You look happy, but you're not happy. You're just living in emotion. Why? Just relationship have drained me. I'm doing all I can do. I'm giving 100%, this man giving 10. I'm giving 100%, this woman giving 10. A relational fatigue. But then there's also spiritual fatigue. You've been praying to God all your life, and you haven't got what you want. God, you call about your health, God didn't answer it the way you want. You call about your healing, God didn't answer it the way you want. So now you're disappointed in the way that God does things in your life. So now you don't want to come to church. Sometimes you don't even want to pray. Sometimes you don't open your Bible. Why? Because you're angry with the master.
Teach, Roy.
All these things come in our life. What do? How did Jesus and how did Paul keep going? For the little bit of time I got left, think about this. There are four important things you understand. One is this, that you must have a realism. A realism. What's a realism? It says right here in Mark chapter 14, verse 35. Mark 14, 35. Jesus in the garden. He's in the garden. He's so stressed to the point of blood coming through his arms. And in verse 35, he said, the realism is this. Before I deal with that, the realism is this. How do we be honest with ourselves and God? Lord, honesty, realism. I'm not happy. I'm not happy in my marriage. I'm not happy with this man. I'm not even happy with this woman. We just going with the same thing over and over. No excitement in my marriage. No excitement in my home. The smile is gone. Like Ted Cruz said, love. I lost that loving feeling. We lost it now. We just go into the motions of marriage. I'm not attractive to my own self. I'm not happy in my own self, how I look. I'm not happy with my weight. I'm not happy with who I am. I'm just disappointed with myself. Be honest. Can you be honest with yourself? In verse 35 of Mark 14, Jesus said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Jesus told the Father, look, if it's possible, let this cup pass. He was honest. He didn't want to go to the throne, but he said, nevertheless, let thy will be done. He was honest, but he took God's will over his will. He was honest. But not only a realism, you must have a rest. A rest. It's so important to have a rest. It says in verse 32, it says, guess what? And they came to a place which is named Gethsemane, and they said to the disciples, sit ye here while I pray. A rest. Do you have a rest? Where you can rest in the Lord. A rest. But not only a rest for the sake of time, but not only a rest. There must be a what we call a so important a recline. A recline your ear to hear. While you resting, you're looking for the Lord, you hearing for where the Lord gonna come at, what the Lord gonna do and how God gonna do it. You got to have that reclining where you're alone and you can hear from God to make a decision. That was in verse 41. Have that 31. Have that rest, that reclining. But not only that reclining, there must be a recognition. What do you mean? A recognition where God's at and where the enemy at. Because when Jesus was in the garden and he prayed three times, God didn't answer him. And when God didn't answer him, he remained silent. Jesus keep moving. Then all of a sudden, he see where God was at. The Roman soldiers come to grab him. And he went. He said, Peter, will I not drink the cup that my Father had forgiven me? He recognized where God was at. Then at the same time, he saw Judas, the enemy. He walked with God. He was with God. He saw everything God did. At the same time, he betrayed him. How can you walk with God, be with God, and betray the living God? And it says in John 6:70 that guess what? Jesus chose Judas too. He chose all of them. But you better understand the difference between choosing and serving. Because it said, the Bible said, God breathed on all of them. So why you have the breath of God and you still betrayed God? I don't have time to expound on that, but God bless you. Father in heaven, we bow before your throne of grace once again to give you glory, honor, and praise. Thank you for this is a day you have made, Lord, when we will rejoice and be glad within it. We thank you for the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we can confess our sins, thought, word, motive, deed, attitude. Hide your preacher, Lord, behind the cross. Let your people be edified. You will be glorified. Satan would be horrified. Have your way this morning, and we thank you right now. Bless our pastor. We pray that you would bring healing and strength to him, camp your angels around him and his family. And we thank you for our pastor. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. First, giving honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to thank God so much for my pastor. It was good seeing him this morning. Such a powerful message that he delivered to us. I am grateful to God for Pastor Gordon. I love him. I'm just in awe of how Pastor has, through the years, poured into our lives, spent time with us, and actually coached us through situations of life. And he set a good example for us. And I'm so grateful, him and Sister Gordon, First Lady. I'm grateful to God for them both. I want to thank my wife for her support and her prayers. Thank you for just staying with me, even though I'm my crazy self sometimes. I'm grateful for you. I thank God for you. And thank God. I'm going to give a shout out to my dad. My dad is 90-some years old. I love him, man. I'm taking care of him now. Last week, two years ago, my mom went on to be with the Lord. So it's kind of like a little transition right now. But I thank God for her. She's in glory right now. Yeah. Amen. I want to thank the choir, thank everybody, thank the ministers, thank what we have witnessed already through Minister Cleve and Reverend Walker. Amen. I won't be before you long. I just want to dive in and stay with Pastor's theme this morning. Amen. Amen. Galatians chapter 6. All right. Galatians chapter 6. Yeah. I want to look at verse 7 and 8 and 9, and we'll spring into our text. Amen? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. For a little while this morning, I just want to use this thought. Keep going. All right. Keep going. Keep going. If we can be honest this morning, can indeed agree to the fact that we experience times of weariness, loneliness, depression, anxiety, and even a sense of heaviness. We have felt like this saved life brings a lot of difficulties, delays, and detours. The word tells us not to lose heart nor to grow weary. Literally means to become fatigued, tired, intolerant, ultimately disappointed. We have to battle this human tendency of growing weary. We have a duty as the elect of God to pray always and stay connected to the vine. Be encouraged this morning, St. Matthews. There is good news. As our theme this morning, keep going because God has the outcome. Which stands to reason for you and I that God has it already worked out.
That's right.
After all, he is Alpha and Omega, first and the last, beginning and end.
That's right.
The backdrop of this book of Galatians is unique within itself. It sets the tone, puts emphasis on salvation through the grace and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
Paul helps these believers to see and recognize the emancipation from the law and the removal before God of any differences between Jew and Gentile. Paul understands the influence of the Greek and the Roman culture of that day, how it was confusing to these new converts in the local church of Galatia. There were many members involved in legalistic Jewish traditions known as the Judaizers, who taught that salvation for Gentiles must include Jewish circumcision while adhering to the law of Moses. Look at what he says even in chapter 1 of Galatians. Turn back real quick. He says, here it is in verse 6, chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you in the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Look what he says in chapter 3. Turn to chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, but there before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. These Judaizers, who contain legalistic views, tried to combine Christ's message of salvation with the context of the Mosaic law. One of the things you and I have to be careful today is we have to have correct doctrine. Right. One of the things I'm grateful for is Pastor Gordon. He gives us sound, hygienic doctrine in this church. Yeah. Are you with me? Right. Yeah. Paul's penmanship was that. He would give doctrine before duty. Book of Ephesians is a great example. He shows the wealth of the believer, the walk of the believer, and then he shows the wealth warfare of the believer. Right. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Galatians 6:9. Is our scripture says, listen, not become weary in well-doing. For proper time we'll reap if we don't give up. There are many of us that started out in this Christian walk with zeal and excitement, understanding we have been blessed after responding to the gospel message of salvation. We've learned some marvelous things about God and his word. They're amazed how the Holy Spirit is transforming their lives. Entered into a new wonderful relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Somehow in this journey, we tend to get discouraged. One's enthusiasm, excitement, begins to become no more than that of the moment. Fears of oppression, opposition, criticism we receive from family and friends, co-workers, get discouraged because they typically forget who is in charge. Try to help others to see very little results. We can get weary when the good we try to do as born again believers seem to touch no one, affect no one, bears little results. We often feel like thrown in the towel. Remember this, we don't always get reciprocated right away for the good that we do. That's why Paul says, in due season, we'll reap if we faint not. In the first century, the Christians through the region known as Gauls faced discouragement, false teachers, hardships, trials, persecution in business, dealings. They were shunned away. Paul the Apostle is writing to renew their vitality and eagerness to work in service with Almighty God. His effort is to restore their courage and determination, continue their efforts not only in their personal lives, but to reach out to others with their godly influence and bringing others to salvation. I work in the addiction field. All right. They say it's the fastest burnout field because you're dealing with spirits. Yeah. These guys come in my office, they got spirits. And I know that because I too had the spirit. But you're dealing with such men that they come in now with entitlement issues. That you owe me something. And I tell them, the world don't owe you nothing.
Right.
You got this entitlement that everybody owes you. But yet at the same token, I've got to show the love of Christ to many of them. And I don't always get reciprocated. Sometimes I'll get a phone call 1 year, 2 years later, say, Mr. Gary, thank you so much for what you did, blah, yada, yada. I said, Jesus.
Yeah.
But be careful. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked.
Right.
A man so... Man reaps what he sows. One who sows to the sinful nature from the sinful nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap life eternal.
There are those that can pretend to be faithful and think that they're fooling God. The Bible says, James 1:26, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not tighten a rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. You might deceive yourself, but not God. God knows everything that goes on. As our pastor would say, God can see a black ant on a black hill on a black night. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere. As you stated previously, nothing takes God by surprise. If you're faithful in the church and worldly at home or work, God knows it. If you're faithful around other saints and you're sneaking and peeping, doing evil things when you're alone, God sees it. A man reaps what he sows. When you plant corn, you get corn back, not tomatoes. When you pursue sinful things, you allow the fruit of sin, which is death. When you pursue bitterness, you reap bitterness. When you short temper, you reap short-tempered people. You sow harsh judgment, you'll receive harsh judgment. You sow love and compassion, you'll receive love and compassion. It's been said before, watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits before they become your character. Watch your character before it becomes your destiny. For the time I have left this morning, real quick, I want to share these four things with you and I'll get out the way. To help us to keep going because God has the outcome. Number one, keep focused. With all the chaos in our present day surrounding us, it's not a time, saints, to lose focus. We are called to be salt and light in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Matthew 6:21, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. My meditative scripture, 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth, and to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is right towards him. In other words, when your heart is bent toward the right thing, the things of God, God says, I will roll up my sleeves and go to work for you. Not only to keep focused, but keep fighting. Not a physical fight, but a spiritual fight. Whether you know it or not, we're engaged in a spiritual warfare. Don't forget Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rules of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Demons. We're fighting some ugly, nasty demons. I don't know, you may not be, but I know I am. They bring discouragement, doubt, distractions, deceit, and despair. Are you with me? 2 Corinthians 10:4. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds, casting down every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to make it obey Jesus Christ. Are you with me this morning? Keep focused. Keep fighting. But keep the faith. 1 Peter 1:7. That the trying of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tried with fire, might be found unto praise and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So not only I keep focused, I keep fighting the spiritual warfare. I not only keep the faith, but I must keep the finish in mind. The outcome. The outcome. This requires you and I to keep perspective. Why? Because we can lose sight of what we're going through and why we're going through it. God is so multifaceted. He's doing one thing in our lives for something else over here. but he's doing something over here to bring you over here. And by the time you get over here, you look back and wonder, like the Bible says, I don't think how my soul got over. I know how my soul got over. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Well, as I get ready to close, I want to keep focused, keep fighting, keep the faith, but I must keep that finish in mind. I'm thinking about 2,000 years ago when they led him from judgment hall to judgment hall. They smacked him around. They spit on him. They mocked him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They said, now you're the king of the Jews. He walked Golgotha. They hung him on a cross, crucified him between two thieves. He hung the head and the locks of his shoulders, but he kept going because he knew on the third day that he'll rise again. But he kept going. He went down in the Sheol, snatched the keys of death, hell, and the grave, but he got up. All power. All power is in his hands. See ya. Yeah.
Did they preach? And now it's time for an invitation to salvation. You've heard the word. Don't stop. God will get the increase. If you don't know Jesus Christ in the pardoning of your sins, now is the time for you to accept salvation in Jesus Christ. Romans 10, 9 and 10 said, if we confess the Lord Jesus with our mouth and believe in our heart that God has raised him, meaning Jesus, from the dead, then you shall be saved. It is as simple as ABC. Admit that you are a sinner. Stop lying to yourself. Believe in Jesus. Hallelujah. Call on him. Trust in him. Will you come this morning? If you're not saved, tomorrow is not promised to you. Next Sunday isn't promised to you. You might not get home. Will you come? Is there one? Is there one? If there are none coming, if you're here and you're saved and you don't have a church home, we invite you to come and join this great church of St. Matthew's. We're not perfect, but we'll save and forgive. Amen? Is there one? Is there one? Amen. Stand to your feet. Let us pray. May the Lord our God and the power of the Holy Spirit keep you in perfect peace until we meet again. You are dismissed. Amen and amen. Please come down front and greet these three preachers who gave you their all today. Amen.
I love SMBC because I've been a member here for over 20 years, and Pastor brings a word every Sunday.
Ministry here is for the entire being. I love the way it touches the mind, the body, and the soul. We have women's ministries.
Welcome to our world.
I've gone to several churches before, and the truth that Pastor preaches about the word, his leadership and his vision is just pure.
Welcome to our world.
What keeps me coming back to St. Matthew's is the youth program. They continuously put effort into the young mentors.
Welcome to our world.
Bienvenidos a nuestro mundo.